El, Welk, and Ork have put aside the champagne. They switch to coffee for a little Brazilian music. Mas que nada, on monitor. Robert Vaughn, the man from UNCLE, will be our guest 3 minutes from now. I'm Morgan, the man from M-O-N-I-T-O-R. That's right, it's Uncle Monitor. Well, I spell nicely. Here's M-U-S-I-C, and it's also N-E-W. That was Amy's theme, and Peter Nero played it.
I agree. There's nothing like a lark.
Lark has a good, easy taste.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
I think they're the nicest cigarette there is.
Right. There's nothing like a lark.
There is nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
One of the best-known secret agents around today is Napoleon Solo. He solves his cases on television. And he, of course, is Robert Vaughn. He was interviewed for Monitor by Betty Grobley.
Robert Vaughn is the man from UNCLE, I don't have to tell you, and he is working on his PhD. Where are you doing this, Robert Vaughn?
The University of Southern California.
May I ask the topic? What's your area?
Well, the area is the philosophy of mass communications, which has five subheadings: theater, cinema, television, or telecommunications, as it's called there, speech and journalism.
What's the drive to do this, to get your PhD now?
Well, originally it was to teach in the field of communications. Now I will probably teach in the field of international relations.
Mm-hmm. You say you will. There's going to be an end to Uncle one of these days, you think?
No, this is as an adjunct to my acting career. I would teach at night.
So many crazy things happen in this series that you're doing. What can you remember some of the tricks or whatever, they're what the most difficult, the sappiest to you, the most involved?
Well, none of them are that difficult or that involved. They seem that way on the screen.
They sure do.
The thing that I remember most is having a dagger on a wire, which was supposed to have been thrown at me during a segment we did with George Sanders. The wire broke approximately 3 inches from my head, and the dagger, which was a full-weighted dagger, went into the wall about 4 inches. That stands out very vividly.
Yes, I would think so. The insurance that you carry must be enormous, is it? Simply because
my
of
personal
this?
Insurance, and of course the studio insures us each for a considerable sum.
I'd like you now to share, if you will, to articulate your political philosophy.
Well, I don't think I have a philosophy other than the roots of Edmund Burke and his thinking in the political world and the social world of relations between countries. I have no particular credo. I would say it is flexibility and pragmatism.
Mm-hmm.
Guides both my actions in and outside of politics.
Have you any feelings also about performers being involved in politics?
Yes, I think that there are a number of performers that I would be very proud to have represent me from Hollywood, very intelligent, very articulate men, and there are a great many, far more, that I would not have represent me in the political world, because I think they are not qualified intellectually to do it. The ones that I refer to that are Gregory Peck, Charlton Heston, Kirk Douglas. These are intelligent, sound, good, stable citizens.
Have you any desire to run for any political office, Robert Vaughn?
No, I have no desire, and not now, nor in the foreseeable future, as far as I can best evaluate my life. But then we never know how things change from time to time.
That's a good political answer, I think. Well, we've been talking with Robert Vaughn, who, of course, is one of the men from Uncle, who is working on his PhD. This is Betty Grobley in Washington, working for Monitor.
So, the man from Uncle is also the man from USC. And studying the philosophy of mass communications. You didn't know we had one, did you?
Setting my trap for you. Step by step. just what I knew you'd do.
Charles Singers, Step by Step. More music in 1 minute on the Monitor Beacon. Mrs. America will be a guest on Monitor 2.5 minutes from now. Now is 19 past the hour, and Ed Ames sings My Cup Runneth Over.
Sometimes in the morning, when shadows are deep, I lie here beside you, just watching you sleep. And sometimes I whisper what I'm thinking of. My cup runneth over with love. Sometimes in the evening, when you do not see, I study the small things you do constantly. I memorize moments that I'm fondest of. My cup runneth over with love.
Next on Monitor, Arlene Francis, brought to you by Orlon 33 Acrylic, the DuPont carpet fiber that never gets tired, and James Lee's Carpets. Here's Arlene.
I'll be back in a minute to learn what it takes to become Mrs. America, the most celebrated homemaker in the United States. You've probably heard me talk before about Lee's cushy carpets made with pile of Orlon 33 acrylic by DuPont. But did I tell you about the five different textures, the loop pile and the twist and the plush and the two elegant sculptures? Well, Lee's has them all, you know, at their springy, lively Orlon 33 Best.
Springier, fancier, it's the carpet fiber that's livelier. Springier, livelier, made by DuPont, it's Orlon 33.
When you look at Lee's full house of textures in carpets made with Orlon 33 acrylic, be sure to give them the touch test. Your bare toe will tell you how much springier, livelier, plushier these heavenly carpets by Lee's really are.
Springier, livelier, made by DuPont, it's Orlon 33.
If you can cook, sew, iron your husband's shirts, and fulfill a few other womanly requirements, you may be a good prospect for the Mrs. America contest. Reporter John Cannon finds out about the requirements and rewards of being named the best homemaker in the United States from the current Mrs. America, Mrs. Joy Newfer.
Mrs. Newfer, you're just back from Europe, and this was one of the winnings, as it were, from being Mrs. America.
Yes.
Do you want to go back to Europe?
Oh, yes, but with my husband this time.
And what did he think of you traipsing around there all by yourself?
Well, he really didn't want me to go by myself, but he entered me in the contest. And he can't say too much about it. He told me I'd better have a...
He started this whole thing.
Yes. So it's his fault, really. He told me to have such a good time that it'd make it worth the separation. So I tried to.
Joy, had you ever been in a contest before?
Never.
A so-called beauty contest?
No.
So you were never miss anything, were you?
Never miss anything. Dill pickle or anything
and
else.
And it wasn't your idea to be in this?
No, I would never have entered on my own.
And your husband is willing to accept, shall we say, the consequences.
Well, he told the judges that he wanted me to have 1 year of glory, and then it was back to the kitchen. So in May, it's back there.
Well, what is the Mrs. America contest? It is different, isn't it?
Oh, yes. It's not a beauty contest at all. It's on your skills.
Well,
as
now, looking at you, we can't say it's not at all a beauty contest,
well,
but go on.
But you have to be able to cook and to sew, and you actually compete with women from every state and the District of Columbia, and you bake a cake with everyone watching you and cook a dinner for six people, and I burned the rolls in that. Ironed my first white shirt, and I thought it was marvelous, but I didn't win that event.
What did you win?
The interior design event, and I was first runner-up for the baked dessert event.
A delicate question, but what is the average age of the winner of a Mrs. America contest?
33, which is what I am. This happens to be.
Well, reflecting on this whole problem of beauty contests, now, what about the young girl who becomes Miss Something or Another and has a tremendous amount of publicity? Do you think this can affect her life in not the best way sometimes?
I think it could actually ruin her life. Just from my own case, becoming an instant celebrity and all of a sudden you're in such demand and everyone wants to interview you, I think it could be a tragic thing with some young girl that decided it was all for her and not for the title, perhaps. So I hope that they have a very level-headed mother or father or someone to keep their feet on the ground.
You have three children?
Right. Two boys and a girl.
And you're a teacher, too, aren't you?
Yes. I just do a lot of things. I'm also a student. I have taught school, and I've gone back to get an advanced degree in psychology.
Now, Joy, finally, do you have advice to a housewife for leading a happy life? What's the basis of it?
I think the main thing is to put your husband at the center of your life. Too many women today, I think, they have children, and all of a sudden, these children are gods almost to them, and their husbands push back in a little corner. And they're going to grow up, and they're going to leave, and here you're left, hopefully, with the same man that you started with. And you ought to have a continuing happy life together. That's my philosophy.
A sound philosophy from a woman of rare common sense, Mrs. Joy Newfer, Mrs. America of 1966. This is Arlene Francis for Monitor. Now let's get down to business about carpets for business. Lee's Mark Royal, the commercial carpet with the handcrafted look. business carpets have to be durable. Mark Royal is made to stay springier, bouncier, livelier, longer. It's made with Pile of Orlon 33 acrylic by DuPont.
Springier, bouncier, it's the carpet fiber that's livelier. Springier, livelier, made by DuPont, it's Orlon 33.
For business or pleasure, it's those heavenly carpets by Lee's.
Listen later today when Orlon 33 from DuPont and James Lee's Carpets again present Arlene Francis. Balfour, Tijuana Brass, new number, Wade in the Water. In Nashville, Tennessee, you heard it on WSM. Wherever you're listening, you're with it with Monitor, because
every 53 minutes, a child is born with cerebral palsy. You may not be able to stop that clock, but you can slow it down. Your contribution may bring closer the day when a cure will be found for this number one crippler of children. Please give to United Cerebral Palsy.
Hi, neighbor. Wake up with the Chanticleer at 5:45 a.m. Firm paper goes to press at 12:15 here on WGY, Schenectady, New York.
Monitor, bumper stickers from all over, from Denver, Colorado. Help beautify your local dump. Throw something lovely away today. We'll throw a little popular music your way. Sugartown by Nancy S. Natra.
Sugar Town.
Cap speaks out on monitor 3 minutes from now. At the moment, you're listening to Morgan. Moments up, here come the Maurice Bauer Singers, What's More American? Al Capp, Monitor's talking cartoonist, has discovered that one word is worth a thousand pictures, at least on radio, which is why he talks right here every weekend. Here's Al Cap.
Aggressive lady authors are always complaining that women don't have equal rights. But they don't have to complain to me. I'm one guy who insists on giving aggressive ladies the same rights I'd give any aggressive man. The other day, I'd finished my taping here at NBC's Monitor Studios at 5 o'clock. It was raining, and I needed a taxi. Now, 5 o'clock is when everybody in New York who can afford one needs a taxi. When it's 5 o'clock and it's raining, everybody else in New York, even those who can't afford one, need a taxi. And anyone who has ever been in New York on a rainy 5 o'clock knows that's the 1 hour when all the taxis in town have mysteriously vanished from the streets. Well, there's really nothing mysterious about it. Rainy 5 o'clocks are the time when every taxi driver in New York who hasn't done much business all day, because people don't want to get out much in the rain, when they get so depressed, they all pull in to have a cheerful cup of coffee. Now, this coincides exactly with the moment when hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers who must come out of their offices into the rain are looking for taxis. Meanwhile, all the depressed drivers in New York linger over their coffee until 6 o'clock, by which time everybody else in New York has given up looking for a taxi and has either walked home or taken a subway. Then the cheered-up taxi drivers come out to the deserted streets again, and they get so depressed all over again at not doing any more business again, they pull in for another cheery cup of coffee at 8 o'clock, theater time, exactly the moment when more hundreds of thousands of New Yorkers need a taxi to get them to Broadway. It takes the drivers about a half hour of coffee drinking to cheer up and come out again, but then everybody's either taken a subway or given up the idea of ever getting to the theater altogether. Well, there I was in the rain with two other guys who'd been waiting there when I turned up. As time went on, a couple of other guys joined our miserable, huddled mass. None of us spoke to each other, but there was a silent gentleman's agreement between all of us. The guy who'd waited longest took the first cab. The next guy took the next cab. As another cab approached, and by the way, it wasn't all this fast. What seemed like hours passed between the arrival of each one of those cabs. The two guys who had turned up after I did didn't make a move but looked enviously as I stepped off the curb to take my cab. Well, before I could reach for that door handle, something whooshed by me like a cannonball. The door was snatched away from my hand, and a large lady who must have just come out of the building, and who, by the way, was built something like a cannonball, she shot into that cab and slammed the door in my face. As she barked out her address to the driver, he turned around and shrugged his shoulders at me helplessly. He said, she's a lady, Max. She got the right. Well, I couldn't deny that she was a lady, biologically. And I couldn't deny her the right to be treated as equally as I treat any man who'd done what she'd just done. And so that lady was treated to a half dozen fine old Anglo-Saxon words in a fine Old Testament voice. Well, the last I saw that lady, she wasn't looking back at me as though she was grateful for my having granted her equal rights. And that's the trouble with women insisting on equal rights with men. Once they get them, they realize how superior the rights were that they've always had. This is Al Cap, who'll wrestle any woman his way, talking to you on NBC's Monitor.
Al, I have met that lady. She's very large, she's very small. She's thin, she's fat. She's everywhere. I hate her. Let's give her equal rights. When I get in an elevator, lady, take off your hat. Starting right now, it's men first.
There is nothing like a lark. It's America's most popular new cigarette.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark, you date.
I like the taste. Simple as that.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark, you date.
I think everybody who smokes should try lark.
There's nothing, nothing, nothing like a lark.
Lark has an inner chamber of charcoal granules for a taste people really like.
Have a lark, have a lark, have a lark, you date.
Great smoke, bright-eye chains.
Hey, there's nothing like a lark.
Have a lark, you date.
There is nothing like a lark. Have one.
Oh, yes, it's people like you who make life worthwhile for people like me. And that's why people like me fall in love with people like you. It's such a good feeling to wake up and know that somebody's heart goes wherever you go, that somebody's waiting with a sweet caress to bring you happiness. Oh yes, it's people like you who bring sunny skies to people like me. And that's why people like me lose their hearts to people like you. Life used to be lonely, no roses and wine, but now that's all over since you said you're mine. When somebody loved you, all at once you see how beautiful life can be. Oh yes, it's people like you who make life worthwhile for people like me. And that's why people like me fall in love with people like you. Oh yes, it's people like you who make life worthwhile for people like me. And that's why people like me fall in love with people like you. Oh yes, it's people like you who make life worthwhile for people like me. And that's why people like me fall in love with people like you.
Mr. E. Fisher, People Like You, on the Monitor Beacon. Before the hour, it's Monitor Music, a new song by Petula Clark. This is my song.
Can I?
In one moment, the handler of Best in Show at the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. Monitor Sports is brought to you by State Farm Mutual, the world's largest car insurance company.
Hi, fun seekers. I'm Jackie Vernon. And now on with the fun. It's recitation time once again. Little boy blue, come blow your horn. Your headlights in the meadow, your wheels in the corn. Don't you wish you'd insure that car with State Farm Mutual, the world's largest car insurance company? There are more than 12,000 State Farm agents and claim representatives all over the country. One of them could be giving you fast, friendly service right now. You could have had big State Farm protection, big State Farm service, low State Farm rates, just like the drivers of more than 9 million cars. But you blew it, boy blue. You blew your chance to get the world's best car insurance value. Go ahead, boy blue. Go blow your horn. I think I see it over there by your gas tank.
Champion Bardeen Bingo, a 5-year-old Scotch Terrier imported from England 2.5 years ago, is the most celebrated pooch in the world these days, winner of the Westminster Kennel Club's Best in Show Award. A report from the champ's handler, Robert Bartos of Bellevue, Washington, talking to monitors Howard Hall of Station KING, Seattle.
Mr. Robert Bartos of Bellevue, Washington, let's start by asking you, why is the Westminster so famous, and are there any other shows anywhere in the world that rival it for their importance?
Well, without question, Madison Square Garden, I believe this was their 91st show. It's the great traditional show of America. I think the show that would rival it would be, of course, Cruffs in England.
Why do you think your dog, Champion Bardeen Bingo, a Scottish Terrier, won out?
Well, he just did a very good job. We were very lucky. And let's say the breaks came.
He now has 24 best in shows?
American best in shows, plus his Canadian best in shows, and of course, plus the English wins.
Well, does his victory now mean a new vogue for the Scotty breed? Now, this has happened with a number of other breeds. When they won the Westminster, suddenly everyone was suddenly interested in that particular kind of dog. Is that going to happen?
Well, definitely. You do get, I imagine, an interest, a recreated interest. And, of course, you see, they are a charming animal. They are a wonderful breed. And with this publicity, I would imagine that you'd see some increase in interest in them, yes.
Well, I understand that the official home of Bardeen Bingo is out at beautiful Carnations Development Farms in Carnation, Washington, over in the River Valley. But in addition to that kennel home, does he spend some time with you in your house?
Oh, yes. Bingo was with me most all the time. He's at the kennel with me during the day. He sleeps in my bedroom at home at night. He's my constant companion.
We're sure, then, that you don't go to the formality of addressing him by his title every time. What is his pet name?
Well, we call him Peppy. P-E-P-E, Peppy. he lives up to the reputation, too. He is full of life.
We know he was a valuable animal before he won the Westminster. Can you put any monetary value on him right now? What is he worth?
I don't think you can, because money doesn't buy a dog like this. No matter how much you'd spend, you couldn't replace him.
A good deal was written about his duel with a very colorful English sheepdog, who I think was a group champion and got into the finals and sort of won the heart of the crowd. Why do you think that Bardeen Bingo was able to top him in the judging?
It was the judge's preference, that's all I can say. Of course, that is the man judging makes that decision. And the particular judge doing this was one of the great all-time handlers who was able to win the Garden 4 times himself. It's not too difficult. It'd be like picking a sports car against a limousine, probably.
Now, are you going to continue to show him?
He could, yes, he will probably be shown.
Well, thank you very much for talking with us today, and good luck, Mr. Robert Bartos of Bellevue, Washington, and Champion Bardeen Bingo. This is Howard Hall in Seattle for Monitor Sports.
Now a word about V8 cocktail juice.
Nancy Niblick, girl golfer, is behind a tree. An impossible shot to the green. Wait a minute.
What's wrong, Nancy?
Just don't have the old swing.
Have some V8. That'll give you drive.
Looks good, like tomato juice.
But it's V8 vegetable juice. V8 gives you the natural goodness of 8 healthful garden vegetables. No single juice can match it.
I still say it looks like tomato juice.
Try V8 and see.
Wow, it sure doesn't taste like tomato juice.
Of course not. It tastes like V8. There goes the ball. It's in the cup. Nancy, how'd you do it?
Kept my head down and closed my eyes.
You find out what's new in the world of sports every weekend right here. Jack Jones sings about Lady.
Lady, you're in love today, but what about your broken heart tomorrow? Why waste all your loveliness on someone if he really doesn't care? Let me take you in my arms and let me love you tenderly. And you see all the joys of life you never found before you'll find with me. Love today and let me give you a happiness forever. Every day you wait, a little love we could be sharing slips away. I'm in love with you, so lovely lady. Won't you fall in love with me?
Reminder from the Heart Fund. The number one killer is still heart and circulatory disease. You can help in the fight by supporting your Heart Fund. What you give is a personal investment in the kind of medical research that will eventually bring heart and circulatory diseases under control. So be as generous as you can and give so more will live. Richard's Flugel Nights Cabaret. Morgan, joining the listeners for a moment, NBC News on the Hour is next, then we'll be back with more of Monitor.
This is David Brinkley. My daily reports are heard each weekday afternoon right here on NBC Radio.
Not every Peace Corps volunteer lives in a mud hut. There's work to be done in the cities, too. So there are Peace Corps volunteers in some of the most fascinating cities of the world. Cities like Maracaibo, Kuala Lumpur, Ankara, Kingston, Calcutta, Bangkok, Manila, Dakar, Nairobi, Kabul, Cali, Rio de Janeiro. Any city where people want help. Any city where people have stopped caring. The job of the Peace Corps is to make life in the cities of the world worth living through medical clinics and hospitals, through sanitation and public health programs, through schools and libraries, and even through soccer fields and baseball diamonds. It's fascinating work in the most fascinating cities of the world, and you may be qualified to do it. Write the Peace Corps in Washington and find out.
If it's sizzling conversation you're looking for, then talk to me on the Jerry Ducey Telephone Show weekdays at 1:30 here on the smoothest sound around, WGY Schenectady.